Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, July 16th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page XVIII, that's 18, XVIII, the second paragraph, Our Society Then Entered, and it's in the foreword to the second edition. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Robin P., the 12 Traditions, Reggie O., and the readers of the text are Margaret D. and Roz G. The share ID for Wednesday, July 15th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,987. That's 14987. And for Thursday, this morning's meeting, July 16th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,993. That's 14993. Our newcomer greeter is Kara L. She'll be on at 10 minutes till the hour. And if you're a newcomer, stay. And announcements will be Leslie M. after that. So, OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, and I will now ask Robin P. to read our 12 steps. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks so much for your service. I'm Robin P. I'm grateful, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin P., and I will now ask Reggie O. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Reggie.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you, and good morning, everybody. My name is Reggie O. I'm gratefully recovered in the Los Angeles area, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. Six, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks so much, and I'll pass.
And thank you, Reggie O. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. That's the star 1 on your phone, not the mute button. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page XVIII in the forward to the second edition, page 18, and we're the second paragraph, which is the last paragraph on the page, Our Society Then Entered, and we're reading one paragraph only. And I will now ask Margaret D. to get us started. Good morning, Margaret. Margaret, can't hear you.
May I be heard now?
Yes, you are. Thank you.
Oh good. Thank you. I know. My name is Margaret D., and I'm very grateful to be a recovered compulsive eater, recovered through God's grace and mercy. Our society then entered a fearsome and exciting adolescent period. The test that it faced was this. Could these large numbers of erstwhile erratic alcoholics successfully meet and work together? Would there be quarrels over membership, leadership, and money? Would there be strivings for power and prestige? Would there be schisms which would split AA apart? Soon every AA was beset by these very problems on every side and in every group. But out of this frightening and at first disrupting experience, the conviction grew that AAs had to hang together or die separately. We had to unify our fellowship or pass off the scene. I'm going to go back into the Big Book on in the back and just very briefly read the long form of this tradition. And at the beginning of this, it's on page 565, under the 12 traditions, the long form, it's the in italics is the sentence, our AA experience has taught us that, one, each member of Alcoholics Anonymous is but a small part of a great whole. AA must continue to live, or most of us will surely die. Hence, our common welfare comes first, but individual welfare follows close afterward. So what that means for me, it's just, it's a huge paradox I can see my higher power at work here trying desperate. Well, I don't know if God ever does anything desperately or not. I think God's got a sense of grace. But anyways, trying to or accomplishing healing in so many people that are, we're such a diverse background and we're from so many different places and we speak so many different languages and we are, in our disease, we do tend to quarrel over membership, leadership. We're all control addicts. Well, actually, I should speak for myself. Definitely a control addict. And worried about money. And, you know, when I'm in my disease, these strivings for power and prestige. Because when I'm in my disease, as I heard earlier in the 7 o'clock meeting, I don't want to be a part of the group. I want to be either on the top of the heap or buried underneath it where I can isolate. But then I go on to this last sentence, or the author goes on to the last sentence where he says, out of this frightening and disrupting experience, the conviction grew that we had to hang together or we were going to die separately, and we had to unify our fellowship or pass off the scene. So this is where all the traditions came from, and I don't have a lot to share about that other than in the next couple paragraphs, we're going to learn about their traditions, what they are, and how they actually came about. And so with that, I'm going to pass.
Well, thank you for getting us started, Margaret D. And now I'm going to open the lines up for more people to share. But first, I want to say, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 2 days, 2 or 3 days, please let others share. Okay, here we go.
Leslie W.
Here's your chance to get in there and share.
Stacy J.
Anyone else? Don't be afraid.
Michelle F.
Michelle.
Jennifer P.
Michelle, what was your last initial?
Roz G.
Roz G.
Amanda B.
Wait a minute, Roz G. After Michelle, who was that?
Jennifer P.
Jennifer P. Okay.
Amanda B.
Okay, we'll stop there.
Barbara E.
Barbara, you'll be number one on the next one, okay?
You betcha.
Okay, we have Leslie W., Stacy J., Michelle, I didn't get your last initial, Jennifer P., Roz G., and Amanda B. Okay, here we go, Leslie W., you're up.
Thanks, Mo. This is Leslie W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. This paragraph honestly reminds me of parenting because, you know, I kind of feel like with my spouse that if we don't hang together, we're going to die separately and the kids will take over the house. And it will be complete chaos all the time. And so, you know, the traditions are especially important to me, you know, right now during this time that we're all together 24/7 in the same household. And, you know, it's rough sometimes. There's conflict. There's kids fighting. There's quarrels and of course everyone wants control. Everyone wants to be in charge. Everyone wants to have their way, especially 6-year-olds and 10-year-olds and sometimes 41-year-olds. So, you know, I really appreciate the fact that they're telling me here that if we don't unify, if the way that this applies in my own life is that if I can't be unified, you know, with my spouse, then, or in the principles that guide our home, like we have to come to some agreement. We have to find some common ground in order for there to, in order for our home to be unified. And you know, it's the same thing here within OA. We have to have traditions. We have to have, for lack of a better word, rules, you know, guiding principles to our fellowship so that we can stay together. Because I don't know about you, but I want to live and I want to flourish in this life that I have here on earth. And the only way I can do that is by belonging to this program and continuing to work these principles and abiding by these traditions the best way that I know how, and learning from all of you. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you, Leslie W. Stacy J., followed by Michelle F. Good morning, Stacy.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you very much for your service. I love the shares I've already heard. I read this paragraph, and it strikes me that my disease is, among other things, it's a disease of isolation. It's trying to pull me away from my fellows and kill me alone. And if it can get me and keep me away from people, it can do its work of taking me down. And so in recovery, I have found that I want to be more involved with my fellows. And that goes for my OA fellows and also other, you know, other communities in my life. And as soon as I come out from hiding in the disease and now as a recovered person dealing with other people, I'm going to face challenges, exactly the things that are described here, you know, quarrels over strivings for power and prestige and, you know, concerns around money and just competing interests in group endeavors. And I feel like I have the benefit of this fellowship, because one of the guiding principles that I've been taught in this fellowship is that love and tolerance of others is our code. And I feel like our AA fellows, the first 100, arrived at this as they struggled with how to work with other people and still have our higher power guiding us as the ruling principle of how we interact with others. So that's what I take from this paragraph, that it's not easy working with others. There are going to be challenges, but that is part of life. It is what one of the gifts of recovery is. If I'm facing these challenges, it means I'm in life, which means I'm on a path of recovery, and I just need to remember that love and tolerance of others is the code that I have embraced. And there are certainly times when, you know, other motives like power and prestige and just want control and wanting to win and all those things come up, but I can turn those over, do 10 steps around those things and surrender them to my higher power and continue to move towards a direction that love and tolerance of others is my code. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Stacy J. Michelle F., followed by Jennifer P. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. I'm Michelle F., as in Frank, a recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. And the first thing that stood out for me when I read adolescent is, oh my gosh, I don't know about you, but I put my parents through hell when I was an adolescent. And just very, all of the character defects, amplified non-hormones. It was awful. So that stood out to me. And then I was thinking as this was being read, well, then why do some fellowships last and others don't? This isn't my first fellowship. The first one I went to, it's still here, but it's kind of hanging on. And I kind of feel it's because that particular one, they put so many rules that good luck not violating them when you're sharing in a meeting. I understand trying to have traditions to protect the meeting, but I found it to be really difficult to say what you think without violating one of those rules. On the other hand, I wonder, well, then why do we have agnostic AA and why do we have Native American AA? And it's because they follow those traditions. They are wildly, vastly different than the other AA meetings, but they hold because they follow those traditions. And unfortunately, trying to apply those in a home where you're the only one that, you know, so-called drank the Kool-Aid, you're the only one that's in recovery, good luck. Rots of ruck. But I am able to try and use them as guidelines for my behavior within the family. And it is a struggle because I have two teenagers now, right now, and I want to control everything. I'm scared to death for both of them. And I just want to go in and say, you should do X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. But I've also learned from bitter experience that, you know what, you can't make a horse drink water. It has to want to. And so you can suggest, you can do your footwork, and then you just kind of have to let go and let God. And thank goodness for these traditions, because I think it has saved me from pursuing a lot of arguments in my family and in the meetings. And I know that it will keep meetings healthy like this one so that I can attend. So as always, I am a very, very grateful recovering overeater. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle F. Jennifer P., followed by Roz G. Good morning, Jennifer.
Hi, good morning. Thanks, Mo, and everyone doing service to make this meeting possible right now, today. Jennifer P., compulsive overeater, and I just wanted to share, too, how, you know, being home, being together, all this togetherness, or what I perceive is we should all be together, and we're really not. Everyone's still doing their thing, and, you know, my job is to stay out of the management position, even though I think I'm there all the time, and I'm just so grateful that, you know, I have the traditions, or I learned that we study the traditions because I don't know how to live otherwise, you know, and I'm just like newly abstinent again and seeing things with clear eyes, and very grateful that there's, you know, the meetings are still going and everything really hasn't changed. The only thing that's changing is that I can change is me. And I also have teenagers, three of them, and wow, like, talk about just, you know, every day, day after day, it's not about, I keep learning, it's not about me. It really has nothing to do with me. And that my idea of us all, you know, doing things as a family, like, that's in my mind, and they're having different perceptions of things, and that's okay. That is okay. It doesn't mean, because it's not turning out the way I think it should, that it's bad or wrong at all. So, anyway, thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
And thank you, Jennifer.
Hi, this is Susan.
Whoa, wait a minute. Susan, I don't have you down. Can you go on the next lineup? I'll make you number
sure.
two on the next lineup. Okay, Susan?
Of course. Thank you.
Okay. Susan. Next is Roz G, followed by Amanda B. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning. My name is Roz G, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I would like to turn this on myself. I'm in the backyard, so you hear some crows, but I'll turn this on myself for the most part. The book says that we're egotistical people, and that includes me. And I don't like to admit that. I think that my ego is being reduced at depth the more and more I work through these steps, the more and more I work with others. But I'll tell you, I was at an OA retreat a few years ago where I didn't want to be timed. We were in a big circle, and it was the last day of the retreat, and everybody was talking about how the treat, you know, what it did for us, and it was 3-minute chairs. And the thing went boom, and, you know, the timer went off, and I just kept sharing. I just looked at the timer like, I'm not finished yet. You know, I don't think I gave her that much of an attitude, but that was kind of my attitude. And she finally waved to me, and she, you know, waved the timer at me like, hello, you know. And I had to learn, you know, timers are a boundary, because I could talk and share every day for the rest of my life, you know. I want to do that. I want to be heard. I love to hear myself talk, you know, but the boundaries that we're given through the traditions bind me. They give me humility. They say, you're another bozo on the bus. Wait, let somebody else speak. Thank God for the leadership in this, which I think we should have rotation of leadership and vision for you, which I don't see here. But anyway, thank God for the leadership, whatever it is, and that they, you know, they came up with the script saying that we should wait 3 days because there's people who just want to share every day, 2-3 meetings. It's like, give me a break. But you know what? When I first came here, I was sharing every day too. So I fall within that category. My ego needs to be reduced. I need to shut up and listen. And I'm just grateful for the traditions, because as they say, and I'm sure we've all heard it, that the steps are for us and the traditions are for the group. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Roz G. And before I take Amanda B., I want to remind everybody where we're at. We're in the forward to the second edition. We're on page XVIII. That is 28. Second paragraph, it's the last paragraph on that page. Our society then entered, and we're only reading that one paragraph. After Amanda, I will take some more names. Good morning, Amanda.
Hi, good morning. It's Amanda B. up in Canada. Our society, first of all, I'm terrified now when my girls become teenagers. And secondly, you know, whenever we get a group together, I'm striving for power. I'm striving for power, and whenever I'm striving for power, that means I'm scared that I don't have a power greater than myself that's going to be behind me. I need to get what I need so that way it's not taken away or whatever. But I really like this because it's just explaining my human experience, you know, and that it was talking about here, the frightening and first disrupting experience of conviction grew that we had to hang together or die separately. And it talked about, would there be quarrels and this and that. And, you know, my sponsor always says criticism is not bad. And I really agree, because if there is quarrels, if there are things that I need to address, then I can take the information and just look at it factually. Criticism becomes bad when I start to take it personally, when I start to make it mean something about me, when I forget that, you know, I'm of service to God, and that my clients, my family, this and that, there are people there that for me to be of service to. So God is my employer, and then these people are either in or out of my way to be of service to. So I don't know if that makes any sense, but basically what I'm saying is that for me, quarrels and change and uproar and quote pain like birth is not bad, and that's kind of just what they're talking about here. We go up and down till we find our way, and I find that with my defects, I find that with defining my higher power. I think that was the timer, so it wasn't
my phone went
okay.
off. Sorry.
Okay, no
minute.
Thanks so much. So I like this, but out of this frightening and first disrupting experience, disruption is not bad. I think that everything in this world happens in God's timing and for a reason. There was a few people that mentioned, you know, we're in quarantine, we're stuck with our families. I'm sitting in my parents' driveway, escaping my house. I get that, and I think that, you know, God is always with me no matter where I go. And so this is just, you know, the forward to my second edition. It's just I keep going and I keep learning, and God's going to hold my hand. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Amanda B. And once again, if you shared in the last 2 or 3 days, in order, we ask you to step back and let others share in order that we might hear their experience. So I have down Barbara E. and Susan C., and then I could take four more. Who would like to share in the second round?
Terry M.
Susan?
Terry M., and I heard somebody else.
Susan?
I have you down, Susan.
Oh, thank you.
Number two.
Sherry H. M.
Sherry H. M. Gotcha, Sherry.
Thank you.
I can have room for two more. If not, we'll go with these four and then see if we have room at the end. All right.
Joanne B. from Texas.
Gotcha, Joanne. All right. I have Barbara E., Susan C., Terry M., Sherry H. M., and Joanne B. Good morning, Barbara. You're on.
Oh, good morning, and thank you for allowing me to join this beautiful program and meeting of recovery. Well, the steps of this program prevent me from committing suicide by my compulsive overeating, and the traditions prevent me from committing homicide, because when I say Gertrude is a sick woman, I always add, just like me, please God, show us both a way of love, tolerance, pity, and compassion that we would surely show a sick person. And after the publication of the article by Jake Alexander in 1941 in the Saturday Evening Post and the endorsement of Rockefeller, the AA groups multiplied and letters started coming into AA with sometimes contentious questions about group autonomy and anonymity issues. So Bill Wilson felt compelled to write an article in the Grapevine in 1946 about these issues, and then the traditions were formally introduced into the second edition of Alcoholics Anonymous in 1955. But remembering that this is OA, our founder of OA, Roseanne, didn't start OA until 1960, when her weight had continued to rocket it up. And that was after the traditions had been included in the second edition. And the traditions provided guidelines, not rules, that would help AA and all anonymous groups to keep focused on the concept of unity. And for me, tradition one is so important. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. And tradition five, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. And tradition 10, no opinion on outside issues, so we can't be drawn into public controversy. And in 2020, there certainly could be many outside issues, but we don't bring them into our group discussion. And finally, tradition 12, that anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before judge personalities. When I judge you, I'm really judging myself. We are so lucky that we have so many meetings that we can Zoom to during this stressful time in our history. And they're all handled in different ways. And if I've heard one thing that spoke to my heart at that meeting, it's invaluable.
Fine.
And of course, oh, thank you. So I think I'll stop right there. Invaluable. That's what this meeting is to me. Thank you, I bet.
All right, Barbara. Thank you very much. Next is Susan C., followed by Terry M. Good morning, Susan.
Hey, good morning. Very, very glad to hear this meeting and what we're talking about. And I love the part about love and tolerance. You know, I try to be a peaceful person in my life, and then I don't understand when other feelings come up. And also, that's you know, a lot of times that's when I would pick up. So the other part of that, of course, to have love and tolerance in your heart, and, you know, if we disagree with somebody, that we pray for them, you know, and that sometimes there that judgment comes in of that person's sicker than me. Hello? So that helped me open my mind to that. Like, we all have something that can disturb us, whether it's the past or the present or addiction, that kind of thing. So I believe that we have to pray for people's happiness, just like whatever that the resentment prayer is, you know, for whatever we want, we pray for them. But I also have been trying to understand justice, what justice means to me. And it means to me that if somebody is doing something that is breaking the group or hateful to the group or a tradition, then that's when I have to stand up and speak up for myself. Because, again, that's another reason a lot for myself when I don't assert myself and I keep my feelings in that I've picked up. So, you know, like having those boundaries. I remember somebody at a meeting, she was talking about how she's selling, I don't know, cell phones or something like that. And, you know, it just is inappropriate, because the idea is everybody's going to think different, feel different, come from a different place. But if we remember, like, our main purpose is for us to be in recovery and to be able to share and pass the message and to help one another. So that's where it's good to stay focused like that. And then we learn that and we do that in our families and friends. Thanks.
Thank you, Susan C. Terry M., followed by Sherry H.M. Good morning, Terry.
Hi, good morning. This is Terry M. from San Antonio, Texas. Thank you for your leadership this morning. Thank you, everyone that has shared. I like the application that I've heard to the fellowship, to the traditions, to family life once we've worked the 12 steps. And I also really hang on to those last two sentences. But out of this frightening and at first disrupting experience, the conviction grew that AAs had to hang together or die separately. We had to unify our fellowship or pass off the scene. And I have found that one of the most unifying experiences for me within the rooms has been gathering with other members that are standing on the big book and standing on the shoulders of the giants that put together the big book for us. And so for me, going to meetings, sponsoring, being sponsored through the big book is also very unifying and prevents me as a sponsor or a sponsee from going off in directions that are really just rabbit trails and become frightening and disruptive, as the book says. So I'm very grateful for that opportunity to work with the big book specifically. That's all I have to share. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry M. Sherry H.M., followed by Joanne B. Sherry, good morning.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M. from Washington State. I love this. I have to confess, when I first came in the program, I did not like the traditions because I thought, okay, I came, you know, for the food issues. That's what I want. And you know, I soon learned that it's really about my heart. It's about my resentment tank, my fear tank, all that. And if it's not on the page, it's on my plate, and I don't want that. And shortly thereafter, I realized this concept of, you know, AAs had to hang together or die separately, principles over personalities, because otherwise, you know, we would never survive. And everybody is a control freak deep down, and there's actually another program that kind of addresses that. And it's like, you know, we're all in this together. Everyone's in control, but no one's in control. And it reminds me to live and let live and working these principles in all our affairs. And we're being tested right now with this pandemic. And, you know, as people mentioned, we spend a lot of time with family members. So anyway, I'm just so grateful for all of you guys. And thank you so much. Okay, have a good day. Thanks.
Thank you, Sherry H.M. After Joanne B., we'll have time for maybe two more shares, so get prepared. Joanne B., got you on here. Press star one, Joanne. Can't hear you. Just reminding everybody where we're at, who's come on. We're on page XVIII, that's 28. It's the last paragraph. Our society then entered. Joanne, are you there? Not hearing you. So what I will do is I'll open the lines up. If you haven't shared in the last 2 to 3 days, let others share. We have time for like 2, maybe 3 more shares. Who do we got here?
Maria R.
Maria R.
K in Washington.
K. What's your last initial, K?
S.
S, okay. And one more?
Marty J.
Marty J. Okay. Joanne, are you there? Okay. I didn't get Joanne, so let's go on to Maria R. Oh, there. Joanne?
Hi, this is Maria R.
Okay.
In New York City. And, I was part of the OA program a long time ago, and I didn't appreciate the traditions. But now that I rejoined about 4 months ago, I really appreciate the traditions so much, because I realized that this is what makes me feel so safe in the program, in the meetings, and I feel safe sharing because of that, because I know there are certain norms, and the way the meetings are conducted, it's so great, and otherwise I wouldn't dare even say anything. So I'm very grateful for the traditions now, and I just want to say that I love this particular meeting. Vision is just great, and the way people share are on topic and so well put together, it's just amazing. So thank you so much for being at the meeting and for everybody's service. I'll pass.
Thank you, Maria R. K. S. followed by Marty J. K.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much, Mo, and everyone who has worked to put this meeting together. I have been on the line for over a year, and this is my first time sharing. I am reminded of what other folks have said is, at first, really the traditions I didn't pay any attention to, but more and more as we explore them and cover them at meetings and go into some depth about how they came into being, I realize how very important they are and how they're reflected in our individual daily practice. It's our common welfare comes first. And so I think about my prayers throughout the day, and we pray, or I pray, don't pray for myself, except in so much as I can be of service to God and my fellows. And so it's putting others before ourselves and trying to overcome our human instinct of selfishness. And I am so grateful that these meetings are focused on recovery and don't devolve into spats over control. I'm very grateful for this tradition and for the reading in the big book, and grateful to you all for being on the line. Thank you.
Well, thank you, K.S. And Marty J., you're up.
Hi, this is Marty J. from Torrance, California. I, too, am sharing for the first time on this line. I joined a vision in April, and happy to have dropped another 16 pounds. So I'm grateful for that, to celebrate with all of you. Really enjoying my recovery process, and to just get back to the reading, what stuck out to me was this fearsome and exciting adolescent period. And I've, in my experience with OA, I've been in meetings face-to-face where there's been quarrels, where things have seemed frightening and disrupting, and it hasn't happened too often, but when it happens, it does shake you, and it does disrupt my serenity. And being able to really trust the journey of what this book has set in place for me, to be able to have a pattern that always brings me back to square one, to be able to circle back to serenity and circle back to unity with my fellowship. And inevitably, anytime there has been a disruption, I have seen the group grow and strengthen, and those who want to humble themselves and want to be of service keep coming back. And that's the only thing I know how to do, is to keep coming back. And because I kept coming back, eventually, after many, many years, was introduced to this program. And so I'm very grateful to all the many shares I've listened to over the last 4 months, and that this meeting is available every day, and really starts my day off in a really positive way. So thank you all.
Well, thank you, Marty. Glad to have you on board here. And we have time. Joanne, are you there? Joanne,
yes,
B.
I'm here.
Yeah, you are.
Sorry about that. I got disconnected. My name's Joanne B. from Texas, recovered. Thank you so much for your service and for this meeting. What really stands out to me in this, I see myself when I first came into program, and I had the privilege, really, and the blessing of starting my journey in OA through this meeting. So needless to say, when my sponsor told me, go to a face-to-face, and I did, I was like, no. And I remember all this, you know, of course, I hadn't gone through the whole program, and so I was still white-knuckling and all this stuff, but I had all kinds of thoughts. You know, you're not doing this right. I don't see any recovery. You know, there's not singleness of purpose, you know, all this stuff. And what was a blessing was that I did continue reading the traditions, and I got to learn a little bit. I didn't understand it all, but I did get to learn. You know, I was being self-righteous, and that I was being judgmental, and I didn't want to cause a schism. I didn't want to cause a division in the group. And so, you know, I'm very grateful, and we'll get to, you know, read more about this tomorrow, but I'm very grateful for the traditions and learning that each group has the right to be wrong, for example, and learn by their errors, or, you know, just learning how to humble myself. It just relieves me. The principles, the 12 traditions, relieve me of a lot of responsibility. in the sense that I don't have to be in control and make sure everybody's doing everything just right. And so I just really have come to treasure this book and our group, our big book study group, and I'm very grateful to everyone who helps with this. And with that, I will pass.
Well, thank you, Joanne. You're our last share for today, and thank you all of those who gave service, number one, and two, shared, and number three, were participants there. We need you all. This is a group effort. So we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, and I will ask Roz G. to please read a vision for you.
Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit yourself, admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.